Grand Hotel. Jordan tried to open the door of his hotel suite. Locked. He frowned and felt simmering anger rising within him. "Don't lose your cool, old man," he said to himself. Then he banged the door with his fist. A voice from the speaker set into the ceiling asked, "Mr. Kell, how can I help you?" "I'd like to go down to the restaurant. I'm hungry." "Sir, I'm afraid that's not possible. You can order dinner brought to your suite." "I'm not allowed to leave the suite." "Not at this time, sir." Jordan stood there thinking. "They've got me under lock and key, and they're watching me. It's a prison. A very luxurious prison, true enough, but a prison nonetheless." Wishing that Aditi were with him, wondering where she was and how she was faring, he went to the phone and grudgingly ordered dinner. Within minutes it was brought to his room by an impassive robot. Once the machine had deposited the dinner tray on the sitting room's coffee table and left, Jordan sat down to eat. And think. "They're watching me in here. And they've probably got cameras out in the corridor. I'm on the 10th floor, and the window doesn't open. I'd have to shatter it to get out, and then it's a 10-story drop to the street. So how do I get out of here?" He chewed on that question as he slowly, methodically chewed his way through dinner. Halleck's people must have the entire hotel under continuous surveillance, he figured. No doubt there's a team of security people on hand to take care of any emergencies. Well, he told himself, I suppose I'll have to create an emergency and see how far I can get. I'm certainly not going to sit here like a good little prisoner. He finished his coffee, then reached for the tiny snifter of cognac. Its top was sealed, but the plastic cover popped off easily enough. Jordan tossed down the cognac and got to his feet. Time to act, he told himself. He went to the bedroom and pulled a lightweight checkered jacket from the closet, then returned to the sitting room and mentally counted off the seconds until the door slid open and a serving robot wheeled into the room. "Are you finished with your dinner, sir?" "You can see that I'm finished," Jordan replied silently. Aloud, he asked, "Have you been waiting outside my door all this time?" "No, sir. That would be inefficient. I was directed to your room when the controllers calculated that you would be finished by the time I reached your suite." "I see." To himself, he added, "So they are watching me in here, just as I thought." Extending two of its four arms toward the dinner tray on the coffee table, the robot asked again, "Are you finished with your dinner, sir?" "Yes," said Jordan, "quite finished." He watched as the robot deftly picked up the tray, then pivoted and began trundling toward the door, which slid open as it approached. Jordan walked a step behind the blocky machine and went out into the corridor with it. The robot ignored him and headed down the corridor in the direction opposite to the elevator bank. Service elevator, Jordan thought. It must use a service elevator. Sure enough, the robot went through an unmarked door at the far end of the corridor and into a small room with bare concrete walls that held an ice machine, several bins that Jordan didn't recognize, an obvious laundry chute, two black elevator doors, and another door marked Emergency Exit. Still holding the dinner tray and two hands covered in synthetic skin, the robot used its third hand to touch the elevator call button. A voice from the speaker set into the ceiling suddenly blared, "Mr. Kell, you are in a restricted area. Please return to your suite." Jordan looked up and saw a tiny red light glowering at him. Another surveillance camera. "Sorry," he said easily. "I'm just curious." "Please return to your suite, Mr. Kell." "Of course." But instead, Jordan pushed through the emergency exit. As he expected, it opened onto a stairway of bare gray concrete steps. He started down the steps. As soon as he reached the next landing, the same overhead voice said, "Mr. Kell, you are not authorized to leave your suite. Please return." Hurrying down the next flight, Jordan said, "I always take a constitutional after dinner." Inwardly, he smiled at the small pun. "I'm exerting my constitutional right to freedom by taking a constitutional walk." He got down four flights of the stairs before a pair of security agents came clattering up the stairs toward him. A young man and a slightly older woman, both in dark blue suits and white turtleneck shirts. "Where do you think you're going?" the woman demanded from the landing below. Jordan saw that their hands were empty, but that didn't mean they weren't carrying weapons beneath their jackets. Remembering his youthful lessons in self-defense, Jordan recalled that surprise and speed were the best way to attack. "Surprise and speed," he repeated silently, hoping that his two-century-old reflexes were still good enough to serve. He said nothing as the two of them came up the steps toward him. "That's right," he said to himself. "Come and get the old man." He felt an odd tingle of anticipation. As the pair of them climbed to within two steps of him, Jordan lashed out with a kick squarely to the man's chest that knocked him backward, tumbling down the steps. He smacked the back of his head against the concrete wall with a sickening thud and went slack, his eyes rolling up. The woman looked shocked for an instant, then reached into her jacket. Jordan pinned her arms and wrestled her to the stairs railing. She tried to knee him in the groin, but Jordan bent her back over the stair rail. She looked down the stairwell, her eyes widening with sudden fright. "It's a long way down," he growled at her. She let her body relax, and Jordan pulled her back onto the stairs. Immediately, she slipped one hand free of Jordan's grip and aimed an elbow at his head. Jordan ducked and stamped as hard as he could on her foot. She yowled, and Jordan grabbed at her jacket. He pulled out the pistol that had been holstered under her arm. She froze for an instant, and Jordan realized he didn't know how to use the pistol. It looked strange to him. Small, deadly, oddly shaped. A tranquilizer gun, he guessed. She swung at him again, and without thinking about it, he whacked her across the temple with the gun. Her legs folded, and she sank to the steps, unconscious. Puffing from exertion, feeling strangely exhilarated, Jordan congratulated himself. "Not bad for a 200-year-old." He stuffed the pistol into the waistband of his slacks and started down the stairs again. The male security agent was moaning and writhing. "It's just a matter of minutes before they send reinforcements," Jordan knew. He raced down the steps toward the hotel's lobby level. But then he skidded to a stop. "They'll be waiting for me in the lobby," he thought. "I'll be walking into their arms." Slower, more carefully, he went as far as the mezzanine level and tried the door. It opened onto another service area, virtually identical to the one on his floor. A maintenance robot was emptying one of the bins into a rolling cart, totally oblivious to Jordan's presence. He pushed through the door and found himself on the well-carpeted mezzanine. Nearly a dozen people were walking along, chatting, laughing. A grand curving staircase leading down to the lobby was only a dozen paces away from where he stood. As casually as he could manage, Jordan slipped in among the people who were heading toward the stairs. The men were wearing suits or sports jackets, the women stylish dresses. Jordan was glad he'd thought to put on his jacket. He blended in with the others better, and it hid the gun stuck in his trousers waistband. He saw a trio of security people down on the lobby floor, all in the same dark jackets and white turtlenecks, threading through the crowd, hurrying toward the service area. One of them had his hand to his ear. "They're telling him that I got off the stairwell at the mezzanine level," Jordan guessed as he started down the gracefully curved stairs. "Stay with the crowd," he told himself. "Don't run. Don't do anything to call attention to yourself." As he reached the lobby floor, he glanced sidelong at the security team. They rushed past him, nearly within arm's reach, and started up the stairs toward the mezzanine. Another pair of guards stationed themselves at the elevator bank. "Get to the main entrance before they put guards on it," Jordan told himself. "They might have the entire hotel under surveillance, but it takes time to get orders from the monitoring center to the security teams stationed around the hotel. You've got to move faster than they do." Staying with the crowd that was heading toward the hotel's main entrance, Jordan could feel his heart thumping beneath his ribs. He turned to the elderly gentleman beside him and said in Spanish, "It seems like a beautiful evening." "Yes," the older man replied graciously. "There should be no rain until after midnight." The hotel's entrance was wide. Steady streams of people were entering the lobby and leaving it. Jordan counted four robots standing impassively just outside the entrance, and a single human doorman in splendid uniform smiling at the people climbing out of taxicabs and limousines. Jordan stepped through the entrance, turned to his right, and started walking down the crowded street. To where? He asked himself. I've got no money, and I don't dare use the credit chip that the government gave me. It could be traced in a matter of minutes. Alone on the busy streets of Barcelona, Jordan realized that he was free for the time being. But what should I do next?